Welcome everybody to the beginning of the February meeting of the ISB. We'll start with IFRS for SMEs and I give the floor to Michelle.
Good morning. The objective of this meeting is for the ISB to discuss the process for future reviews of the IFRS for SMEs. When the IFRS for SMEs was issued, the ISB said that after the initial comprehensive review, it expected to propose amendments to the IFRS for SMEs via an omnibus exposure draft approximately once every 3 years. However, we've received feedback that this may be too frequent and also may be unrealistic if each review starts with a request for information, bearing in mind that the current review started in mid-2012 and we expect the amendments to be effective in 2017. And also some respondents have said that the ISB should provide clearer criteria for when and how future reviews should take place. The staff recommendation starts at paragraph 26 and we recommend that comprehensive review should commence approximately 2 years after the effective date of amendments from a previous comprehensive review. So that would be on approximately a 6-year cycle and would begin with a request for information. However, we also recommend that in between the 6 yearly reviews that the ISB should consider whether there's a need to develop interim proposals and that they would focus mainly on any new and revised IFRS not yet incorporated. So even if an interim review went ahead, this would still only result in an exposure draft being published a maximum of approximately one every 3 years. So do the ISB agree with the staff recommendation?
Yes. Now, I've just found the messaging a bit confusing, particularly 26A, where we talk about 2 years and then we don't mention any more years after that. And then if you go to P17, we talk about 3 years, and I agree with B and C, by the way, so I'm only talking about A. I would say let's make it every 5 years or every 6 years, whatever you think, and just say that. It's a simple message. We know we have to do an RFI. We know we'll have to plan out to get it done in 5 years. But if I was a constituent out of P17 and 26A, I wouldn't understand what we're doing.
Can I just clarify? So you would say we say it's a 6-year cycle,
5 or 6 or 3, whatever people think.
Except that in between we potentially have an interim cycle.
B and C. Yeah. Okay.
Why do we need a request for information? I understand maybe for the first one, but is it really necessary? We have an advisory group to advise us on amendments that might be necessary outside new standards. We know the board is going to have to consider how to and whether to incorporate new standards. So what is the purpose of the request for information? Surely we can do everything via the normal process of exposing an exposure draft.
We could do. I guess it's almost like a bit like a substitute for a post-implementation review, which is a requirement for any major amendments to standards. So if we have made major amendments to the IFRS for SMEs at a particular review, I think then it would be obviously useful to see if there have been any implementation problems.
I would also argue in that space, I think one of the difficulties we have with SMEs is that we have very limited contact with practitioners in between processes of RFIs and things. And I think, as we saw to a certain extent with this process, if we don't identify an issue at the first step, once we issue an exposure draft, if we get feedback on something, it's almost too late to then try to address it at the second step, because at that stage you would then need to consider re-exposing. The RFI allows us to identify issues that we don't necessarily hear about that are out there because there are so many users, so many preparers we don't have contact with. I think it just helps us streamline the process because it means that the exposure draft then can include everything we've heard about. And we don't use the exposure draft as a bit of an exploratory document.
I'm just concerned that every 6 years is a long, long gap in terms of making amendments to these things, even allowing for an interim change. I understand that waiting 2 years after the last implementation of the last effective date before reconsidering, because we need to think about whether changes are necessary, but could we try and streamline the process perhaps? What about when we know we're going to have to think about new standards, so revenue recognition is out and we're going to have to at some point think about whether and how to adjust the IFRS for SMEs. Why can't the board do that in advance? Why do we have to wait for the RFI for the board to think about that issue? That might streamline things perhaps.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we may benefit for SMEs having some implementation experience. I guess we would probably need to reconsider it again after we've had some implementation experience. But
well, if we're going to wait for implementation of IFRS 15 prior to thinking about it for IFRS for SMEs, then the SME standard is going to perhaps be updated 10 years, I don't know, after a standard has been issued in the main book.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too long?
Darryl?
I was going to say, I think I would agree fully with what Steve just said, and I think that in many ways is why the proposal, I think, is trying to incorporate the idea of the interim review. In essence, we could start thinking now, even if we chose not to do anything about revenue. Interim review allows us now to start thinking about the standards that have been issued, IFRS 9, IFRS 15, and etc., to decide, and once we've actually talked about it, once we've discussed those as issues, we can then decide whether or not it makes sense to do something or whether it makes sense to actually wait. The difficulty at the moment is waiting for a full cycle to happen suggests that we kind of close our minds. We don't even think about revenue or the differences in revenue. We don't think about the differences in IFRS 9. I would see this interim review as giving us the license to start considering those issues, and then if we decide not to do anything, it's a conscious decision. We've consciously decided not to actually think about it. The RFI is a process which I think is necessary, but I think the longer cycle allows us to do other things, and the longer cycle together with the interim allows us to have the RFI running in the background, perhaps while we consider current issues as they come up. And we may well decide on something like revenue, that revenue as it stands is close enough to the IFRS for SMEs already, that we can make relatively minor tweaks and not wait for the experience. But I think we need a process in place that allows us to do that interim consideration, that gives us the license to do it, and hence the two different processes or two different channels.
Martin.
Yeah. And I don't agree with this interim project review, because I think the main purpose of that is, okay, we want to provide a stable platform for some years for the SMEs, especially for the preparers, that I think was the original thought. And if we then have it every 5 to 6 years, but with an interim period, it means we do it really every 2 to 3 years. And therefore, I think it's quite too often. And even if we're starting discussion, I think it is kind of our due process that people then feel that they have to be engaged, they have to follow, and there is not a stable platform. And we were originally, I think, concerned about the resources in this SME entities, and that was the reason why we said, okay, we need the kind of stable platform. But if we now with the interim, we more or less saying, okay, we're doing it every 2 or 3 years, and therefore I'm not agreeing with this interim period, because I think it is adequate to have it every 5 to 6 years, but without this interim period.
a few responses, and I'd like to think about the drivers for bringing this paper now. In terms of how long should we wait, I think one of the things that came out to me goes to Ian's point about mixed messages is, do we want to tell people how long they should be assured they have a stable platform, Martin's point, or how long they'll have to wait until there's a prospect of something getting incorporated? And maybe we better pick one message as the key messaging point to avoid the confusion. And when I think about going ahead with the finalization of the changes to the standard, your paragraph 27, I think that sets out a clear message for the document we're about to issue. If you're using the standard, you should expect at least 3 years before there's a change to the standard. That's the stable platform message. I think the other questions, like how broadly should we consult? Should we do an RFI? My view is let's for the next couple, I think we probably want to, because it's still pretty new, and then let's pause and think about whether we always need to do them. But it seems to me that there's an opportunity not to kind of jam it in on the tail end of our first update, but rather with the strategy review that's coming, to have a section on the SME standard and ask a few of these questions from a broader stakeholder group about balancing this. How soon, you know, do you think we should move to incorporate changes to full IFRS into the SME? So I think it's good to bring it. I don't think we should tie ourselves in knots over criteria. And I think in terms of if we've said it's going to be at least 3 years for the stable platform message, then I think if we look at and know what the big standards are that we finalized or we're about to finalize, could we flex whether it's 4.5 to 6 years in terms of when we do the next one to think about not waiting all the way for the post-issuance review, but you know, picking up some experience. I think we can flex a little there, but I think that's something we can explore in the strategy review. So I think you've got the right thing here. We should know what the feedback is around process, et cetera, coming out of the update, and let's think about feeding that into the trustees' strategy review rather than trying to put it on the back of this.
Okay.
Gary?
Thank you. I don't necessarily object to 6 years, but like I say, it does feel a little bit long, but I'd like to focus on B about the interim review and how that process would work. I mean, I share Martin's concerns about is it 3 years or is it 6 years, but he says the ISB should conduct. Wouldn't a better process be in every 3 years the SMEIG group convenes and says should, you know, studies what's been issued or whatever else, and they make a recommendation if we should conduct, and the people most affected by it and the local subject matter experts think we should do an interim review, wouldn't that be the better next step rather than jumping in with the ISB should conduct?
Yeah, I definitely think that they would be involved.
I think you wonder, should they have the lead? I mean, we can organize the meeting here.
We have the lead, Gary. I mean, it's our responsibility.
No, but I mean, we're looking for advice.
Sure.
You know, should we do an interim review? Now, we can make the decision unilaterally we should do it, or we can look to the people affected by it and say, do you think we should do it? And then we can choose yes or no, depending on the feedback.
We go.
Before, of my view, Michelle, can I ask you the relation between B and C?
For the urgent amendments, I think urgent amendments would be really, really extremely rare. It's just something, if something came up, probably that we needed maybe a shorter comment period, something that we needed to rush through, I think, rather than the full due process. I was thinking more along those lines.
So this means that we might possibly have three kind of changes.
Yes, but I think it would be my feeling that urgent amendments would be extremely rare. It would just not to rule them out, that we might need to move quicker with a specific change rather than...
If the thing's wrong, if the standard's wrong.
Okay, so I have three views. So firstly, the first one, I basically agree. And the request for information, I think, is necessary. I consider comprehensive review equal to post-implementation review. In the case of main standards or big book, we have such kind of process, and then we should have similar ones. As to the second one, I personally don't like it, you know, as Marty, particularly if we have a third one. You know, means in real cases we will make urgent amendment if so necessary. For example, recently the equity method we allow use for consolidation purpose, and then related. And then I think it's very simple process and generally accepted, and we amend quickly. So if we add another interim review, so-called interim review, give people impression we have another comprehensive, but relatively narrow scope comprehensive, will cover many things altogether. I would rather prefer maintain C, basically say if there is urgent ones, we board may decide to do so. As to whether we will follow short or longer process is a separate issue. I don't think it is an issue related to whether we should do or not do. You know, So I basically don't think B is necessary if we have C.
Okay.
I support the staff proposal. I know that in B it is said should conduct a review to consider if there is a need. And then it says would be to consider whether to incorporate. So it doesn't mean we will systematically change the standards every 3 years. We will just consider the opportunity, the need, as to whether and when to do the amendments. We could do a review after 3 years and say, and yes, and we will not change the standard until after 6 years. So it doesn't mean that there is not a stable platform. It is just a process to make sure that what we have there on the market is still appropriate.
Should we agree with this?
As to the RFI, just a question about the SME implementation group. It will continue to exist in the interim period. So why is it that it is not sufficient to get us informed about the needs coming from the marketplace? Is it because the group is not properly set up to have this input? Then we should consider maybe reforming the SME group to make sure we get the necessary information. Because there are two streams. One is from our side. We have developed new standards, and we have all the information we need after consultation with the SME group to decide whether and when to make a change. The other stream of information is coming from the marketplace. What needs have not we considered yet? And I would hope that the SME group is set up in such a way as that we get this information from them. So why the RFI, I'm not sure it's really needed. It just burdens the process a little bit too much.
I do think, and Philippe, you're spot on, that the SMIG plays exactly that role of being our tripwire out in the market, telling us what's happening in the market. And I think to date they've performed that function very well. And hence when we did the RFI two or three years ago, we were able in that RFI to list the things we thought would most likely be issues. And I think it served a purpose in that. At the same time, in spite of the fact that most of the issues that came from the SMIG and into the RFI were the issues that were identified, the broader experience you get from doing an RFI still meant that there were new additional issues that were brought to our attention. And I don't think a 20 or 30 member group can ever fully compensate for the fact that you just don't get full 100% coverage of everybody. We're only talking about a process every 6 years, so it's not a very regular process, but going out to the market I think does serve a purpose.
No, but if you strip it out, then you might be able to go to every 4 or 5 years, perhaps. I don't know how long this takes. And then this specter of having interim rounds is also much less of a problem. So I feel sympathy for what Philip and Stephen are suggesting. And, you know, in any exposure draft, you can ask people, did we forget anything? And they will... Why wouldn't they be able to answer us in a regular exposure?
I do agree with that. We can ask them the question. The difficulty is if somebody does identify that we have forgotten something, then for us to actually introduce a change to reflect that point they've identified without actually ever exposing that change creates the potential for the fact that we might have to do a double ED.
We are so inflexible.
I think the RFI was certainly very necessary in the first development of the SME standard, in the first revision. But as we go and as the standard is improved, I think the need for getting more information probably diminishes quite well, because I think we are covering more and more of the ground we need to cover as we go. And really the marginal effect of having RFI is probably not nil, but I would think that over time it really diminishes.
Which I think was Mary's point too.
Sue?
Hans was right, I was nodding as Philippe was talking because it was the same point that I was going to make, which is I think we need to be careful probably with messaging, going back to what Mary said, because I think what we're saying here with the interim review is it's another tool in our toolkit if we think we need to use it. Mm. And we might come to different conclusions. For example, I could see on IFRS 9 there might be less in there that we think is really urgent that we need for the SME community. Whereas if I was looking at leases, we might think that's more important to improve information for people using SMEs financial statements. So we might make different judgments. So it's really just to try and help us if there's too big a gap in the life cycle of SMEs versus when the mandatory dates of other standards are kicking in, I think. But yeah. I think if we're careful with the messaging, we can probably still have the main message being the stable platform. But of course, if we need to, we've got another tool we can use. Then the other point I had was on drafting in paragraph 27. The first two sentences there I thought were relating to the sort of comprehensive overview, so more of the omnibus So A in your 26. And then the next two sentences I thought were really talking about C, because it's talking about such instances are extremely rare. I couldn't see that the interim was actually covered in the words that I've got here. I'm not sure that it
But it's
just wording, so yeah. I think we just need to be careful we've got the right.
I mean, there's no more frequently than once every 3 years.
But this is saying publishing an omnibus exposure draft, which I think is slightly different to just doing leasing or something.
No, I totally agree with that.
Probably just move omnibus, because I think it was just meant to cover all the sections.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'm not sure it's capturing your B. Quite.
Yeah.
Amari?
Yes. I think I've reinforced the need to really be clear in the message here. The population for IFRSF or SMEs is, most countries is very distinct from the IFRS, the full IFRS. So it's very important for them to have this perception of a stable platform. And if we are clear enough here, that's what they expect us. Regarding the what's proposed, I think I do agree. RFI for SMEs is, I think, Michelle's argument that it's the akin to the post-implementation review. It's important because generally the people who are involved in IFRS for SME are not necessarily involved in full IFRS. They're mostly dedicated only to SMEs. So I think they have the opportunity to benefit from post-implementation of other standards. I'm not that troubled by the distinction between IFRS for SMEs and full IFRS. We have this distinction now for quite some time, and it apparently works. We are happy. Not to have the distinction, we would need to have a totally separate or totally different process to be comfortable with minor gaps. We should have done this together with full IFRS. In other ways, having a separate session for SMEs every time we change IFRS. So, but we agreed that this is not really contributing for the stability. So I do agree. I was thinking about when Weigu was asking about the urgency. Actually, the problem I see here, it's not the problem, probably is the wording, what we have in 26B and 26C. Because actually the last sentence on 26B is exactly what we meant, in my view, in 26C. Because the last sentence say, however, it would also enable the ISB to address any urgent use issues that have arisen since the last comprehensive review in 26B. And C comes again, should emphasize the separate urgent amendment. So I would just take out C completely and keep the urgency within the interim, or if we are clear that the urgency comes out of the interim review, just delay the last sentence in B and keep the C something.
Mm-hmm. Now, there have been several suggestions to, if we go with this proposal, to present it a little bit more clearly so that people get the sense of a stable platform. With these wordings suggestions, who can support the staff recommendation?
Okay.
I also said that I'd bring it up at the meeting, was just that we may need to consider further down the line whether we need to address the SMEs separately in the due process handbook. In the moment, it's not technically covered by amendments to IFRS because we don't have the requirement for post-implementation review, so there are certain differences.
I think it's necessary, isn't it?
She was going to come.
Alan?
Sorry?
Do you believe it would be necessary to have a clear session on our due process for SMEs?
The due process handbook?
I'd have to have a look at the handbook itself, but it does cover SMEs as well, because it covers any publication. It's actually specifically covered in the front. We've tried to be reasonably, what we didn't want to do was to lock in requirements that you have to have an RFI and things like that, and I'm pretty sure we don't have that in the handbook.
How does the post-implementation review process work? Is that a requirement? And if so, would that be something, if SMEs are scoped into full IFRS, does that not mean we require?
It's a requirement, no, the way the handbook's written, it says it's a requirement for new standards, and IFRS, depends on how you interpret whether IFRS SME is part of IFRS or whether it's a separate standard. And I think it's actually dealt within the handbook, it treats as something separate, the same way we have practice statements and things like that. It's an other document as opposed to being IFRS. So the only requirements, I believe, are for standards and major amendments to standards.
Could we consult with David Lowth on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.